And welcome to Outbeat Radio on KRCB Santa Rosa, a program that focuses on issues by, for, and or about members of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender communities. You can hear Outbeat Radio every Sunday night at 8 p.m.
This is Living Proof, and we're your hosts. I'm Dr. Diana Grayer, and next to me is my co-host and wife, Sheridan Gold. Tonight, in honor of October's Coming Out Month, we have four special guests in studio. We have Matt, and we have Walter from Positive Images, and we have Dean, and Dean brought on along his partner Tim of 22 years. Welcome, 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 welcome. So let's start out by you just saying your names and just introducing yourself. Just names and age would be appropriate. You want to start, Matt?
Sure, I'll start. Hi, what's up? My name's Matt, and I'm 19.
I'm Walter. I'm 21. Thanks for having me.
Hi, everybody. I'm Tim. I'm turning 50 this week.
And I'm Dean, and I turned 50 last year.
Wonderful. And so tonight, since it's coming out, you will be sharing your stories with us, especially your coming out stories. So we're going to get to learn about your lives. But until then,
well, I just want to say I'm going to be 56 in November. I just wanted to join the 50 club over here. It's Sheridan talking. Anybody want to join me? Mary, Diana?
Okay, December I will be... I don't want to tell everybody. No, I'm just teasing. 54. I know I look 25.
I'll join you.
So I can't say anything.
I'll join you in 30 years.
So anyway, this show is about youth from Positive Images or about Positive Images. And even though we don't have kids that are younger than 19, we still can find out a lot about Positive Images if you listeners out there don't know a lot about them. And then the folks here tonight are going to, like Di said, share about their lives, share about what they do at Positive Images. But before we get to those stories, we'd first like to share with you news and events with Outbeat member Greg Moralia.
Say, tell it like it is.
Good evening, this is Greg Moralia with your Outbeat Radio news for Sunday, October 2nd, 2011. The effort to overturn California's Fair Education Act, which mandates the teaching of LGBT history and leaders in public schools, is ramping up, and conservatives are turning to duplicitous means just to get their way. A gay couple in San Diego stumbled upon a table featuring information on Elizabeth Smart, who was abducted as a child. The information posted insinuated that people signing their petition are advocating support for increased penalties against child molesters. But as it turns out, they're actually signing a petition to get the Fair Education Act, otherwise known as SB 48, overturned at the ballot. The couple captured their experience on this YouTube video.
Hello, everybody. Good morning. Today is September 25th, Oceanside. We are at the Oceanside Days Harbor. And me and my husband were walking by to just have fun, we saw this little bank here, this little place where this lady is collecting signatures. I was attracted by it because everything is about Chelsea. You know, the Chelsea legislation that improves penalties to child molesters. So, of course, I was interested. I stopped by to then find out that everything is actually about sign the petition to stop SB 48. As you know, SB 48 has just been approved in California, and it's that legislation that will finally teach LGBT history in our high schools. Well, this lady is saying it's associated in the child molester or Chelsea to convince people to sign a petition to protect our kids in our local school. It's a misleading, fact, and that's the only way it seems to work for them to tell people not the truth. They are telling them actually that this is a petition to protect us from gay and lesbians, and this is the way me and my husband were approached to this by this lady. I addressed her personally. She even called the police on me because she said I'm intimidating her. Yeah. Obviously, maybe the content of my conversation might intimidate her, but obviously I take my distance. But I just want you to know what's going on. Sign the petition is organized by Stop SB 48. According to them, they are not paid signature scatterers, and there is a website. And I want you to pay attention, because that's what they are doing pretty much everywhere, deceiving people, telling them that this, the signatures are to protect our kids from child molesters, and then they find out it's actually to repeal SB 48.
The group behind the table, part of an effort to overturn SB 48, has a website that claims the legislation goes too far. It prominently features the image of a heterosexual couple with gleeful children on their shoulders. And also in Southern California this week, the Los Angeles Dodgers released a video for the It Gets Better project. The video features manager Don Mattingly and a group of players all encouraging perseverance for bullied teenagers in English, Spanish, and Japanese. The Dodgers have been outspoken advocates for equality and against all societal prejudices dating back to the days of Jackie Robinson. Dodgers Senior Vice President of Public Affairs, Howard Sunken, said, "Our club wholeheartedly supports an end to bullying and violence against LGBT youth. There is zero tolerance for violence of any kind for any reason in our community." Now here's your calendar of events for the coming week. On Tuesday, October 4th at 6 p.m., the trans group will meet at the Positive Images Center, 312 Chin Street in Santa Rosa. And on Wednesday, October 5th at 6 p.m., Marin Women Seeking Women, an informal social group, will gather at Jason's Restaurant, 300 Drake's Landing in Greenbrae. And on Thursday, October 6th at 7 p.m., Men for Men Support Group meets at the Marin AIDS Project, 910 Irwin Street in San Rafael. On Friday, October 7th at 7 p.m., our own Diana Grayer, one of the hosts of Living Proof, will be reading her original poetry at the Sebastopol Center for the Arts, 6780 Depot Road in Sebastopol. And this is a fundraiser for the Sonoma County YWCA. And on Saturday, October 8th at 7:30 p.m., Queer Coming begins at Monroe Hall. This annual event, sponsored by Positive Images, is a dance for LGBT youth and allies. You can get ticket information and learn more about the dance at the Positive Images website at www.pauseimages.org. If you have news or an event you'd like to share with our listeners, be sure to tell us about it by going to our own website at outbeatradio.com. Just click on Outbeat News. For Gary Carnevale, I'm Greg Moralia. Now back to Living Proof with Sheridan Gold and Dr. Diana Grayer.
And thank you very much, Greg Moralia. We are back in studio with four phenomenal young men, young in every sense of the word. We have Matt, Walter, Tim, and Dean with us, and they all have something to do with Positive Images. So we'll just go ahead and get started and have each person talk a little bit about what they, how they're involved with Positive Images, what they do there, and how did you come to be at Positive Images? Matt, do you want to go ahead and start?
Sure, I'll start. At Positive Images, right now I am part of leadership, and I'm considered a grounder. What a grounder does is that it's pretty much guided meditation before people start speaking, and what we like to call checking in, which is when someone that needs to talk about like something that happened in their life openly talks about it in our group, and they just let it out and people give them feedback. And also I'm a peer counselor there, which I can private counsel members of Positive Images in a separate room.
How do you get to be a peer counselor? You've only been there how long?
A year. You go through, I think it's more than 40 hours of training to become a peer counselor with Jim Foster, which is the founder of Positive Images. And then you run practices where you have one person that's training to be a peer counselor and another person that's training to be a peer counselor. And they, one person's the counselor, one person's counselee that week, and you just, and you talk, and you role play, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sounds good. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah.
How about you, Walter? Your relationship to PI and how you came to be there?
Sure. Well, I've also been there for about a year. I initially found out about PI. I'm a psychology major at Sonoma State. I just graduated recently, and I was in this little class called Psych 494, which is you get 10 free sessions of therapy, and you write a little report about it, and you get a unit. And this actually relates to my coming out story, but while I was there, I came out in therapy, and my therapist recommended PI, and that's how I came there. And I'm also a peer counselor, and I'm also the activities, or not the activities coordinator, but an activities coordinator. And I've been a peer counselor for about 5 months now. I was in the same graduating class, quote unquote, as Matt was, so about the same time.
Wow, thank you.
Yeah, we're going to have Dean introduce himself too, as far as being in relationship with PI, but I would really like you guys to think about maybe a story that you and Matt and Walter, a story that as peer counselors, maybe something that was provocative or something that really affected you or was profound. If I was listening, I'd sure want to know a question like that. Okay, so can you think of that while we move on to Dean? Okay, so Dean, part of PI, tell us your story, sir.
I came to Positive Images back in June as an adult volunteer. Like Walter, I'm also in the psychology program at Sonoma State. And in contemplating internships for this fall semester, I was thinking about positive images as a possibility. So before the semester started, I started attending the weekly meetings held every Thursday night back in June, and really found it to be a wonderful place. Great people. I mean, the kids there are phenomenal. The stories they have and the experiences that they can share, I found to be really inspirational, even to me in my life at my advanced age. And so I kept going back, and it turns out that I was able to turn it into an internship for the fall, which worked great. And I'm going to soon go through the peer counseling program that Jim has set up that should be coming up shortly, and look forward to as much continued work as I can provide.
Mm-hmm. Wow, wonderful. Thank you, Dean. And you brought along your sweetheart tonight.
I brought along my husband, Tim.
Tim.
For support, and because he was curious.
So, Tim, just to get you to voice a little bit, how is it having your beloved volunteering for PI? What does that do in your life and in your relationship?
Well, actually, it's a great... The thing that I enjoy most about it is that it actually lets me know that I'm being supportive of the community by supporting him. And so the fact that he gets to take the time and give of himself in that environment, it actually makes me feel good. And actually, he shares quite a bit of what he learns there with me. And it's been inspirational just hearing about some of the things that the kids have gone through. So,
Thank you. So real quick, before we get to the personal stories of peer counseling with Matt and Walter, Dean, I was just curious. You said you were 50-something, 51 or so, and these two young men that are here are 19 and 21. I'm just curious, do you feel awkward or anything about the age difference? Because you're like just beginning, but yet you're older. How does that play?
It does not feel awkward at all. The analogy I would use is you may have been to Paris several times, but until you bring your partner who's never been to Paris and you get to see it again through their eyes. So I am getting to relive some of my own experiences that I had as a child, as a young adult, as an adolescent. And I'm also able to contrast my experiences with theirs because they in many ways were dissimilar. So I almost get to have a renewed remembrance of years gone by that I maybe have not spent so much time thinking about.
I think it's great that you're doing it also being the age that you are, because there's a lot of people that we all know who are in the gay community who are our age in the 50s, but they don't realize their volunteer opportunities over at PI. We just know PI is for kids, you know? So I think it's terrific that you're here and that you're doing this work.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, we're going to go back to Walter. He points a finger. He wanted you to go off. He wanted you to tell your peer counseling story, Bert. So, what did you come up with? Something?
Peer counseling story. Even while I was a peer counselor.
Yeah, well, yeah, something that you know struck you and moved you in some way.
Well, it was actually, I'd say, the most valuable and most interesting time I had was the peer counseling training itself. Actually, even more so than the people I counsel now, actually, and because you know, it's just Jim and then us, and we're it's therapy, but it's in just a group setting, and we're all contributing. We're all not just our own stories, but we're all giving advice, and it's just fantastic. I guess an individual experience would be when let's see.
Well, I mean,
there was, I mean,
you know, it doesn't have to be difficult, you know, if you can't come up with something off the top, that's fine. But what you just shared is really important, that that experience of you grouping together and just learning how to be, you know, a therapist for, you know, LGBT community, I mean, kids, that's wonderful. Thank you.
Sure.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Good work. So what about you,
Mr. Matt?
Well, let's see. I guess one of my favorite experiences was when the person that we're role playing that I was role playing with, and after the role plays, we'll just get into like really deep conversations with each other about counseling and about like life and about like their effects and my effects, like how everything happened in our lives. And I mean, I just love that. That was great conversations with her, and. Yeah, and
so I have a question. Do you, both Walter and Dean are very interested in psychology and both want to be therapists. Do you have any yearnings?
Not in therapy, but I still want to help people.
Mm-hmm.
Like I want to go through the nursing program in at the JC. Like I still want to be involved in a way, mm-hmm. but I don't think. Mental health is the right path for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so nursing.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well,
he knows how crazy
that.
We really are.
No, he what? Say
he,
it again?
He knows how crazy we really are. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and talk about your coming out stories. Think back about when you realized you were gay, and then think about when you told, you know, the first person, and then think about how you started negotiating the world and navigating the world. And so who would like to start? Okay, Walter.
Yeah, I'll do it. Mm-hmm. Let's see. You know, you just always know that you're gay, the same way a straight person knows they're straight. So I always knew something was different about me. But the thing that really pushed it to the front of my mind, like for the first time in my life, was actually not until I was about 14. Actually, mm-hmm. I was with some friends at the movie theaters. We were watching the Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. I don't know if you guys are Harry Potter fans at all or anything,
well, we know Harry Potter.
Yeah, yeah.
Essentially,
it comes down to this: there's a scene with Daniel Radcliffe with his shirt off. Very sexy. Anyway, I thought, wow, that's really sexy. And then I started wondering, why is that really sexy? Oh, dear. And so I just started thinking, and I eventually came to the conclusion that I must be gay, and it kind of made sense with everything else that I've always kind of felt
like
internally.
Like what?
Like, well, just that I never really had any attractions to girls.
Okay.
And I always wondered, you know, why is that? And I was wondering, despite the fact that, you know, I had hit puberty a year before, I was like, how come I'm just not feeling this, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I eventually pushed it to the back of my mind, and I thought that, okay, if I'm okay with it personally, I mean, I never felt bad about it. I never felt, this is a bit extreme, but I never felt suicidal or anything like that. But I thought, I don't mind if I know, but I'm not going to let anybody else know. So that's the way it was for about 6 years. And then when I was 20, and this was about a year ago, or a little over a year ago now, actually, I started noticing my straight friends getting dates and everything, and I was still all alone and everything. So I realized that had to change. And as I said, I was a student at Sonoma State, and so I was taking Psych 494, get 10 free counseling sessions, write a paper, get a unit. Great deal of Sonoma State students, by the way. I came out to my therapist he was the first person I ever told, and I couldn't even do it the first time. I just sat there in silence through the whole session.
What do you mean the first time?
Yeah. Well, the first time I wanted to say it. I actually wanted to tell him that I was gay. I couldn't even say it, even in a completely confidential setting, you know, a non-judgmental, you know, a therapist, of course. And even then I couldn't do it. And finally, at the beginning of my next session, I did it. And I said, well, maybe I'm bi. You know, that's kind of the halfway point, because, you know, you still have one foot in the door. But anyway, he referred me to Positive Images and everything. And from there, I just started coming out to people. Interestingly enough, I started with the people furthest out to me and then came in. I guess that's actually kind of typical, you know, to in being my closest family and then and outwards as kind of distant friends and everything. So I started coming out to some students. You know, I started attending the Sonoma State QSA, PI, of course. And then I started telling my friends and everything. In fact, this was about 10 months ago or so. I was at a party, and some friends of mine were playing this little game called Gay Chicken. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that, but basically what it is straight guys pretending to be gay. Straight, I say in quotation marks, pretending to be gay. And the first one to chicken out is the loser.
Now, wait, chicken out from what?
From, you know, acting gay. Like as in, you know.
Kissing? Or?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
exactly.
Is it like spin the bottle?
Not really. It's kind of like just acting cute towards each other. And, you know, that's quote-unquote totally gay. I don't know.
It was new
to me then as well. But apparently it's a thing. I
so
found
what's the
it
name
on the
of
internet.
It again?
Gay Chicken.
Gay Chicken.
So what were you doing knowing that you were gay and you were at this party?
Well, it was like, I mean, it wasn't the only activity at the party. It was, I was sitting.
Playing
I was
the role.
I was sitting on the couch watching a movie, actually. This was going on next to me. And then finally they're like, hey, Walter, come here. And I'm like, you know, it's time. I'm thinking to myself. So I just stand up, I pick the cutest guy, and I kiss him. And by the way, none of them had kissed yet. They were just kind of, you know,
ooh,
yeah, that kind of, yeah,
exactly. He did it.
Wow.
Yeah.
And there was this silence, and I sat back down on the couch, and they said, are you gay? And I said, yeah, I am. And they were totally cool with it. It was really nice. However, they won't let me play Gay Chicken anymore. So, yeah.
Do they still play Gay Chicken?
I don't know. I haven't seen them play it since. So,
what about the guy
I don't
who
know.
Kissed?
Oh, he's fine. I think he went through, you know, 3 months recovery. But no, I'm just kidding. No, he's fine. He's fine.
That is a wild story. Wow.
That's
Gay
great.
Chicken.
Thank
gay
you.
Chicken.
I want
to
ask you one more question though about the. I keep coming up with that movie scene that you shared with us.
Oh, it was...
Yeah, no, but I want to ask you, so what happened after the movie? Because you were in your own world at that moment.
Yeah, totally.
Did you tell your buddies?
Oh, no. I actually happened to see that with my friends who are actually very... my conservative group of friends, shall we say. Okay. So, you know, I certainly wasn't going to come out to them at some point. You know, they're... I don't want to say homophobic, but... They're homophobic. Yes, exactly. And so I was in my own little world. I honestly don't remember even going from the movie theater back to their house afterwards. I really don't, because I mean, I was just, this was a revelation for me and everything. But eventually, you know, my circle of people I've told eventually got more and more closer to me. And finally, I first came out to my mom first. She was shocked. They say a mother always knows, but not in my case, apparently. she was very surprised. And we talked for a long time. And she's getting better. But at first she agreed, you know, I won't tell anybody, you know, and you can go at your own pace or whatever, you know. So that was really nice of her and everything. And then I finally told my dad. Well, long story short, he's getting better. He's a lot better now, in fact. But he kind of hit the roof when I told him at first. But we've had a lot of talks since then, and he's getting more and more comfortable with it. He's completely comfortable with me. I've brought up the subject of a boyfriend and everything, and I kind of want to introduce my current boyfriend to him at some point, but he's definitely not ready for that.
Are you living at home?
I do, yeah. Saves money on the dorm. No. That's basically my coming out story. And this all happened within a year, really.
Wow. Well, thank you so much.
Sure.
And we will get back. We'll talk more about it.
Okay.
So we're going to continue with Matt. Okay.
Sure. Let's see. When my coming out story starts in, like, elementary school, because I've never viewed women as, like, partners. I always viewed them as, like, good friends of mine that I love to hang out with. I only have women friends. I have, like, maybe two close men friends in my life. Sorry. And in middle school, I actually started noticing that I liked men in a more sexual way than I liked women.
Men or boys?
Boys. Well, yeah.
Hey, I'm just checking.
Yeah. Well, because it mostly started because in my middle school, it was pretty much all we had was a basketball court and gravel around us. I didn't really go to a fancy middle school. Mm-hmm. But the boys started taking off their shirts and playing basketball, and I was like, damn, what is that? And that's when it started. And then I went deep into the closet because I was like, no, I can't be gay. This isn't happening. And then I started dating women, which came to a problem because I didn't really like kissing them, but I did it anyways. And it was just like an issue. So that's why I broke up with so many girls. Like, I dated 4 girls in middle school and broke up with every single one of them after about a month, maybe less. And then in high school, I was sitting, I'm just going to skip ahead to high school because there's nothing really interesting that happened after that. But in high school, everyone started noticing that I guess I acted more womanly, feminine than other men. And so they, like, kept asking me if I was gay. And I was like, no. Not me. I'm not gay. I'm just straight. I'm just, like, the straightest thing ever. But no, it wasn't. And, like...
How was that for you, though, when they were questioning you like that?
It was kind of, like, really awkward, and I got really defensive. And I would get, like, really mad. So it wasn't really the greatest situation for them.
So I just want to
interrupt you. About that. Why it wasn't so good for them?
Yeah.
So you were questioned about your sexual orientation. I'm wondering what teachers did when they heard it.
This was never like in class or anything. It was out in like the.
So no adults heard.
No adults heard. Like, they're pretty careful, I guess, of, like, making sure their teachers weren't around.
Uh-huh.
Because the teachers were never around when they asked these questions. So, I don't know. Like, that bothered me, but it wasn't, like, a big stress in my life. Like, it just shook it off. I was like, whatever. And finally, with one of my pretty close friends, I, like, told her I might be bisexual. And this is when I was going out with this girl named Angela. And I was like, I might be bisexual. And she was like, you know what? That's totally cool. Like, and then we were just like, had this huge conversation about gay people and gay rights and things like that. And I thought the conversation went really well. And finally, like, finally, when I came to terms with myself, and I was like, you know what? I really don't like women that way. And then I was still going out with, which is now my friend, Angela, at that time. And I was like, you know what? I don't think I like women. And she was like, that's weird. And then I was like, I know, but we're kind of still going out. It's like, what should we do about this? And she was like, well, I don't want people to know that I turned you gay. And, I was like, no, you didn't turn me gay. Well. And then we had this pretty long, deep conversation about it. And it was kind of funny because afterwards she was kind of mad at me for a while because rumors did start that she turned me gay. But yeah, but then people got over it. And we became friends again, so now we're fine. And it was just a funny experience in the world. And then, like, I became openly gay at my school, and everyone really accepted me. And, like, I was, like, club leader of the GSA for, like, before I was even out as bisexual.
What school?
El Molino. And I was club leader GSA before I came out as bisexual, too. That's probably why people still suspected I was gay, because I was still involved. And my parents' story is kind of funny, though, because I was sitting on the couch, and this was pretty recent. This was the beginning of this year, and I was sitting on the couch, and my parents were sitting on the other couch across from me. And I always wanted to tell them that I was gay, but I was just, like, too nervous. I don't know how they would react. I know they're pretty open people, but I didn't know if they're, like, open about this. So I was just, like, sitting there just staring at them. And I was like, should I tell them right now? And then I was just like, then, like, I don't know. I, like, forced myself to just blurt out, I'm gay. And they, like, just, they're looking down at the TV, actually, over the TV, and looked over at me. My mom looked at my dad and slapped him and said, I knew it!
Oh!
And, and it was really funny, and then my mom was like, so what? It doesn't matter. And then, yeah, that's
obviously
pretty much,
they've been talking about it.
Yeah, they've been talking about it. And I guess they're more, like, okay with it than I even was, so it was like, whatever. So, but my favorite thing is my dad, like, I think it was, like, a week later after I telling them, came up to me when I was, like, washing the dishes and he was getting ready for work. He came up to me and said, you know what? I really don't care that you're gay and all, as long as you're still the same person and you're still you. And being gay and labeled as gay is not going to change you as a person. I'm like, Dad, that's never going to change me as a person. And he's like, okay, buddy, I'm just saying. And then, like, and then we hugged and he went to work. So yeah, that's, like, one of my favorite things that happened.
Mm, that's beautiful. Yeah. We thank you for sharing that, Matt, very much. We are going to take a music break right now. It's a very well-known coming-out song, and you guys will know what it is as soon as you hear it.
Yes.
We'll be back.
Through, the time has come for me to break out of the shell. and all my abilities. There's so much more to me. Somehow I'll have to make them just understand. I got it well in hand, and oh, how I plan. I'm spreading love, there is no need to fear. And I just feel so good every time I hear. I'm coming out, I want the world to know. I got to let it show. I'm coming out, coming. I want the world to know. I got to let it show. I'm coming. I'm coming out, coming. I want the world to know. I got to let it show. I'm coming out, I want the world to know. Got to let it show.
Welcome back to Living Proof. This is Diana and Sheridan coming to you to lay a little soul on your mind. We are in studio with four wonderful men talking about their coming out stories. They all have relationship with positive images. And we are on to Dean, who is studying psychology at Sonoma State University. So, Dean, yes. So go ahead, if someone just joined us, just, you know, a little sentence about who you are, and then go ahead and tell us your coming out and how you came to know that you were gay.
Okay. I'm a returning student, so I'm at my advanced age. I am now just getting my first bachelor's degree. Then I hope to go on to the master's program in counseling, get my MFT, and then become a licensed therapist. I came out the first time I went to college, which was 30 years ago. But before that, when I was in high school, I was socialized and I was on the track to date girls, and that's kind of, you know, what you did back then. It was the mid-70s. Although I knew that there was an inclination that I kind of could find boys that were cute, but I tried to suppress that. And, you know, we fooled around with a few of the neighborhood kids while you're in high school experimenting things, but figured it was a phase, hoped it was a phase, went to college, left that life behind me, could start all new. I went to the East Coast in Boston and got a girlfriend and had a great relationship with her. But feelings popped up every now and then, and they were physical in nature. And when I sated them, and that was all I needed. For about a year or two, that happened. And then there was one occasion where the object of my desire rejected me, and my feelings got involved. And that's when I had to stop and say, this is not just physical for me. This is about who I am. And that is when, like, that's the turning point that I realize that I was gay, because my feelings got hurt by another man. And from that point on, I started the process of coming out. And I had an older sister who was very close to me and somebody that I could kind of talk to. And she kind of knew a little bit. She knew I was gay before I did, put it that way. But when I did kind of start coming out to a few of the people that were very close to me, My parents were still living 1,000 miles away, so I didn't have to worry about them. Until I got a phone call from her where she informed me that my girlfriend's mother, at the time of my coming out, called my parents and outed me to them. And while my first reaction was, you know, oh my God, my second reaction was, well, okay, you know, move on, go forward with this, what can I do? And it turned out to be a blessing because my older sister was able to talk to my parents prior to my ever knowing that they knew, and kind of they had an opportunity to clear the air, talk about it, discuss. And so by the time I got the phone call from my parents, the conversation to me was, we heard what's going on, we don't understand it, we love you, you're our son, we want you to be happy, but we don't know anything about this, so we can't say that we're behind you 100%. But they opened a dialogue, and they kept the dialogue open, which I think was so valuable to us working it out together as a family. And from that point on, I don't think I've ever looked back. I've never hid who I've been since. And I've lived my life as an open, out gay man, proud of who I am, and am as happy as can be.
As happy as can be, because she's staring at Tim.
Well, if you saw, well, you do see him.
Yeah, he's a cutie pie.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. So, Dean, I wanted to ask you just one question, just to clarify that phone call from the girlfriend's mother. Mm-hmm. Was it in a mean, malicious kind of thing, or was it kind of...
I think her mother was upset because when I came out, and because I had been in the relationship with her, and she was upset, so she went home. This was in Boston, and her family's from New York, so she went home to New York to get support from her family, and her mother could see how upset she was, and I think kind of in a protective, you know, protecting her daughter, but yeah, wanting to strike out, I think, and hurt me, probably to avenge some of the hurt that had been inflicted on her daughter. Yeah, it was not a, let me see if I can do the best thing here and call Dean's mother. No, I don't think it was like that at all.
Do you still have a relationship with this woman?
I do. And in fact, Tim threw me a 50th birthday party last November, and I didn't send many invitations to faraway people, but I sent her one, and Tim, we were driving down the road, and Tim said, you know, I just got an email from Lisa, and she said she's coming to the party, and I started crying. It was, I couldn't believe that somebody from 30 years ago who meant so much to me would leave her family, because she's married and has children now, would make the trip all the way out here just to celebrate my birthday. I still get warm and feelings from it, and I'm very touched. So yes, she's still a very important person in my life.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that. Sure. Okay, Tim, we get to hear from you now about your coming out.
Oh boy. Let's see. I'll try and be a little more condensed if I can be. I think I was lucky in that I was raised in the Bay Area. I was brought up in San Bruno, and that was a very supportive environment from a diversity perspective, let's say. So the one thing that I will say is that I think I didn't realize that I was attracted to men, and I'll say men, boys, until high school. And I was somewhat involved in sports. My brother was a big athlete. So there was a little pressure on me in that respect at home. My father was a sports enthusiast. So I was never full throttle into sports. I don't know how that really has anything to do with my being gay, but just that there was that little difference in me. The funny thing is while I was in high school, I spent an awful lot of time with women, and I was actually voted biggest flirt in high school. But the truth of the matter was that I was just chatting with the women because I didn't have a lot in common with men. So that was something that felt a little off, and I knew I was attracted to men. Went to college. Well, let me back up. When I graduated from high school, I went cross country in a van with two very good friends of mine, and it turns out both of them are now lesbians. But in looking backwards, it's clear that that was a sign of what was to come. But that also created an environment for me where I was again feeling supported by my environment. So fast forward maybe 5 years from then, I had actually had a girlfriend during that time because I was still thinking, you know, I'm not really certain. Had a pretty strong bond with this woman, broke up with her, and then I went over to Europe for the summer and rode my bike for 3 months through Europe. And the two women friends of mine strongly encouraged me to experiment while I was over there. Not clearly saying experiment with men, but just that that was something I should do. So I took them up on that, and I took the freedom of the environment to do so. And then came back, and after I came back from Europe, I didn't really pursue any other means of coming out, as it were. And then I had a friend of mine who took me to see Gone with the Wind at the Castro Theater. She had a group of gay friends, and so she ended up taking me as her date that night, and she actually got sick halfway through the movie and said, oh, you stay with these guys. I'm going to go home. So I then stayed with a group of about six gay men and myself, and I was strongly attracted to one of them. And the long and short of it was I ended up in a beautiful beach house down in Monterey, by a fireplace in the evening. So that was how my coming out, because shortly thereafter, I decided this was who I was, and I started my spring of dating a few men, and then I very shortly thereafter met Dean and fell madly in love.
And how old were you when you first
I was realized? 26, I think, 26 or 27. So a little delayed, and but I found what I was looking for.
Yeah,
and he's
fantastic.
Sitting next to me.
And you guys have been together 22 years?
22, yeah.
That's, congratulations.
That's another show.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Really, it is.
So we're at the point where we have some time for advice. And you guys have been really, really generous with your stories and your experience in life, and we really want to thank you. But we're going to ask you to think about if somebody was listening to this show who might be struggling with their sexual orientation, what would you say to them? And can we start with you, Matt?
Yes. I actually have one little bit of advice. Before you actually come out to someone, test the waters. What I mean by that is, ask him some, gay trivial fact or something, or, ask him, what's your opinion on gay marriage? And that will give you, a little, snippet on if they're, homophobic or not, so you can be more safe. And that's my little bit of advice.
That's great advice. Be safe.
Yeah.
What about you, Walter?
Same as Matt. Test the water. Ask if they like Lady Gaga or Glee or something like that. No. I guess my biggest advice would be come out strongly, come out boldly, but come out cautiously. Because you never know if you're going to get that off chance you're going to get that one person who doesn't take, too kindly to it.
Thank you. Thank you. Dean?
I would say come out to yourself first. Really do a little bit of searching as to who you really are. So, 'cause you asked about the struggle. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes the struggle is a period of confusion, of uncertainty. And because sometimes the climate out there can be inhospitable, it's probably not safe to question yourself in public, but to question yourself in private and try to come up with that answer on your own. And then, when you're ready, come out to your friends, to the world, to the people that are closest to you. And following Matt and Walter's advice, be safe, be smart about who you talk to. Make it as a positive, try to make it as positive experience as you can.
In your life, how do you do it when you want to come out to someone?
At this point in my life, I fully expect that anybody who even looks at me knows. If I buy a pack of gum at the grocery store, the lady knows. I just assume they all know.
Yes, good for you.
Mm-hmm. You know, a long time ago, my sister was asking me about coming out. You know, how do you want doing? Do you want to do it at work? Do you know, how are you with people? And I said, you know, I would rather be able to walk through any door 100% who I am, but have the number of doors that I can walk through limited, than saying I want every door open available to me and that I'm willing to hide part of who I am to get through that door. I'm not willing to hide anything about who I am to get through a door.
Thank you so much, Dean. Sir Tim, advice?
Well, I've had the beauty of having the strength of someone like Dean next to me through a lot of my life as a gay man. And I think, you know, both Walter and Matt raised some very good points. I was thinking about those thoughts. But I think the point that I would raise is be yourself. Just be yourself, because the more that you can be genuine and comfortable with yourself, the more comfortable you're going to make the person that you're telling. Yeah. And that is something that I think is integral to anything, just being somebody who is yourself. So,
Thank you, all of you so very much. It's just really wonderful just sitting here around the imaginative fireplace, just here talking with you all. So, since you're giving advice and you're part of PI, would you give the phone number? Do you have the phone number or the email? If somebody's listening,
website,
if somebody needs it.
I most certainly have it, but it's on my phone. Excuse me.
So,
Positive Images does have a nice website, and I know I found it by just doing a Google search for Positive Images.
Oh. That's right. It's pauseimages.org. That's PauseImages.org. And the phone number is area code 707-568-5830.
And say that phone number one more time, please.
707-568-5830.
So this last piece, I really love doing it because, thank you for that number and all of that.
Oh, sure.
But I'm thinking, I'm looking at the clock, we're going to have to move here. But because we're, you know, lesbian and gay guys, I mean, this is just what the reality is for us. And it's not so safe and not so comfortable all the time out in the world. So I would like you to think about, is there some one person that you want to thank on the air right now? Just say thank you to this particular person who's been there supporting and encouraging you. Okay?
I'll start, and I'll thank the man sitting next to me. He's been the love of my life for the last 22, almost 23 years. He's been supportive. He's allowed me to not work and go back to school to pursue my dream. Mm-hmm. He's been there at every turn. So, Tim, thank you.
Oh, a kiss, too. Walter, Dean, Tim? Matt. Go ahead.
I'll be quick. clearly, Dean is... who I would thank. But then I just also would thank my parents for being loving individuals and supportive in their own ways. The one thing my father said to me that really made me feel good when he found out that I was gay was he said, "If anyone says anything bad about you, I'll kick their blank." And so that was just in his way, that was his way of being supportive. And God bless his soul. He's in heaven now. So
Thank you for sharing that.
I couldn't possibly just thank one person. My mom and my dad, they've always been there for me. Even when I came out to them and they were a bit shaken, you know, they still stuck with me and everything. So thank you to them, and thank you to Jim Foster and Positive Images. I most certainly could not have come out without PI.
Wonderful.
Definitely not.
Thank you, Walter.
I have a couple of people to thank, too. First, I would like to thank my best friend, which Lizzie, because she's been there since middle school, and we've been friends for, I think, 6 years now. So that's her. And my sister for just being there to talk to me and gossip with me, because she's really awesome, mm-hmm. and I love her. And my mom and dad, because they're cool too. And my brother sometimes.
Thank you, Matt.
I have one more. I call them my family group, which is the person I mostly go out with. So I like to thank my family group. Mm. Yeah.
We want to thank you so much, Matt. Thank you, everyone, for such a wonderful, compelling show tonight. And we want the listening audience to know that you, too, can be strong and powerful and authentic, just like these young men here in studio tonight. You, too, can be living proof that you can come out and still be whole. Until we are here back first Sunday in November, we wish you well.
Good night.
Reflections of the fears I know I've left behind. I step out of the ordinary. I can feel my soul ascending. I'm on my way. Can't stop me now. Then you can do the same. Yeah. Whatever.